Joshua chapter 7. And some may know this story. Gosh, I hate to call this stuff in the Bible a story. Some may know what's going on here, some not, but we'll go along. And there's 26 verses. And instead of reading every one of them, I'm just going to go one by one. I know a lot of people don't agree with that type of teaching, but I love it. I love being taught that way, and I like teaching that way, but there's other ways I teach as well. But let's just go ahead and I'm going to ask the question, what is the hidden, accursed thing that's in your life? And that's what this is about here in Joshua 7. I'm going to talk about a hidden, cursed thing. If you look over at Joshua 6, verse 19, it says, but all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass, notice it doesn't say bronze, and the iron and the are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now they're going right now, and they're besieging. They're taking everything from Jericho. And God said, all the silver, the brass, the gold, everything that is to be set apart. It's to go into to a place for me, for his house. Okay. And so they go on and they go on through the rest of the chapter, and all is well. Until you get to chapter 7, verse 1. It says, but, okay, that has had a wonderful victory, but God throws in a but. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zarah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your grace and your mercy for bringing everybody here. Thank you for the gift that was bestowed upon me and my family. I really do appreciate that, Lord. I just ask you to bless that person, whoever it is. Help us. Give me the words to speak here today. Help me to teach only what you would have me to teach. Be with me as we go to the jail today. Thank you for the message that you've given there. Bless everybody's heart. Well, thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. So we see here that after that wonderful victory, God says, busted brakes on everything. He says, but, okay? But there's something going on. Right from the get-go, God has found this person. Nobody told God who stole what or what it was. Nobody told God. He just stops. I mean, it stops. If you go back and you read the last verse in 6, chapter 6, there's nothing mentioned about it. And then, you know what? God says, I need to make this known. And the very first thing that he does in chapter 7, verse 1 is, there's somebody who took something, and he names the person. Now, the children of Israel had no clue. Nobody went up to God and said, God, did you see Achan there? No, God knew that. The children of Israel had no clue what was going on until God brought it up to them. And God was about to reveal this thing. So it says, how many of us are sitting in this room right now? How many of us, saved or unsaved, how many are sitting in this room today and we have a hidden, accursed thing in our life? Okay? We've tried to hide it somewhere in our life. We try to, I got to hide it from Randy so he doesn't see it. Or I got to hide it from my mom and dad. I got to hide it from my boss. What is that hidden, accursed thing? What is that thing that we have in our life that we can't see? As you notice, it was not a man that was about to reveal this. God was about to reveal that hidden, accursed thing. God has to reveal that hidden and accursed thing that's in your life. He has to reveal that to you. Nobody else can. That's only going to come from God. And you know, well, God, I'm being diligent in searching for you. Oh, Lord, I really do want salvation. And God says, but, okay? When God says that to you, something's about to happen, okay? And the thing, are we going to look at it? Are we going to search that thing out? Are we going to be diligent? Are we going to hear it? Okay? Somebody gave me a picture. I wish I brought it with me. I thought I did. Somebody gave me a picture, and it looks like a mess. And it's just all these colors on this paper. And he goes, can you see the elephant on that paper? I'm going, no, I don't. Elephant. He goes, do you believe me that there's an elephant on that paper? I said, I think, yeah, okay, there's an elephant there. And I'm telling you now, that's how people are seeing salvation. Until your eyes are brought into focus, Jesus Christ is standing right there. Inside that jumbled mess, inside all that stuff, he is right there, and he's got to bring your eyes into focus, because when you take that thing and you hold it up against your nose and then slowly pull it away, there's a 3D elephant standing right there. That's a picture of Jesus Christ, and he's standing right there. The thing is, you can't, your eyes aren't focused and you can't see it. All you see is a jumbled mess. It's right there. It's an arm length away. But only God is going to reveal that to you. How is he going to do that? He's got to bring your eyes, your heart, and your ears into focus. He's got to circumcise those things. He's got to break up those clods that are in your heart. Okay? And so, God, bless you. God will reveal, the Bible says, turn with me to Mark 4. Go to Mark 4. And I want you to start in, let's start in verse 22. Mark 4, 22. And 23, for there's nothing hid which shall not be manifest. That means made known. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? There's nothing. That thing that's you may know, that hidden accursed thing that's in your heart. You may know what that is. You may not know what that is, but God promises, Randy, to bring that thing out. To manifest that thing, to make it known what is in there. That's what a manifest is. It's something to let you know. Your dad used to be a truck driver, and you know they would close that back, they would seal the back of that truck up. And the only way you would know what's in there is what's written down. And God's doing that same thing with you. God has taken, and there's something hidden in your heart, and he's taken the manifest, which is the Bible, and he's letting you know what's in there. He'll make it manifest to you. He wants to make that thing known to you. There's not a person in this world that he does not want to do that to. But we got to bring our eyes into focus. Where's the search? Where have we went wrong? What is this thing? What is? How come I can't grasp this thing? And I told you over and over again, those who are struggling with salvation, please hear me out. Number one, knowledge is not salvation. Okay? Number two, salvation is not an emotion or a feeling. And for years, for 4 years in this church, I grasped always for that firework in my heart. Always for that feeling that, okay, I'm going to feel it when it happens. And it's not anything of that. It is so hard to explain that when it happens, it's not a feeling or an emotion. It's just you know you have that assurance now. You have a confidence that you've never had before. But it wasn't a feeling. Did I get a feeling afterwards? I did. Because I finally understood. But when that transaction took place, there was no emotion. There was no feeling to it. I was broken. I was tore up. I seen myself for the first time the way God wanted me to see. Over a thing that if I told you what it was, it'd be so simple. It was just me being a rebel. I was going to have no authority tell me what to do. I was going to bow down to no man, no God, no nothing. And when God showed me, that was the problem with me. It was over with. You see, I got up with a new confidence. And knowing that, when I got up, then the feelings and the emotions took over because I knew what I had. But salvation is not knowledge. Salvation is not a feeling or an emotion. You got to let that go. Because, boy, we try to drum it up. We try to drum it up. Remember, your Bible talks clear. Mark 9 and other places, there's two different types of belief. But I'm not going to get into that. But there's a hidden thing. And God wants to make it manifest with his word, okay? This hidden accursed thing will give you a false sense of pride and keep you from having victory in your life, whether it's for salvation or your Christian life, okay? To have this hidden accursed thing will give you a false sense of pride. Like everything's okay, nobody knows about it, I have this thing hidden away. And God said, no. No, he has to hide pride for man. Why? So he can see himself. God has to hide that pride. Go back to Joshua. Joshua 7. Joshua 7. Man, everything's falling out all over. Joshua 7. Okay? And we're going to go to verse 3. 3 through 5. Joshua 7, 3 through 5. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go and smite Ai, and make not the people to labor thither, for they are but few. And so they just defeated Jericho. Then God tells them there's a hidden thing in the camp. And then they know they got to go and fight Ai. You know what they say? Oh, we don't need many. There's only a few of them. Here they are in their pride, thinking that they can do this thing on their own. God just told him there's a cursed thing in your life. And you know what? They ignored it. I can do this on my own. I can go and defeat the Ai. Just send a few. They're not many. Let's read what goes on. And so they went up thither, the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, 5. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate of Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Why? Because they went at this thing, they went at being delivered in their own self and in their own pride. Why? Because they had a hidden, accursed thing in their life. God told them that in verse 1. And they ignored it. Come on, we're just going to march on to Ai. We're going to take that thing. There's not many of them. They brought 3,000 people. 36 men chased them away. How's that? Smote them. Their hearts became like water. And having that hidden, accursed thing in your life will do the same thing to you. It will give you that false sense of pride. I have it hidden. Nobody will know about this. You're right. You're absolutely 100% right. We may never know the things that are in your heart, but there is one who does, and he is the revealer of secrets. Chapter 7, verse 1 tells you that. But that hidden thing that's in your heart, what about that thing? Okay? And it says, they won a victory. Now they remove God out of their plans. Someone takes the accursed thing, and now they're all filled with pride and think they have victory without God and have a sin against them. You see, what's good? There's a pattern here that goes on. As somebody, we get that hidden thing in our life, we start putting God aside and thinking that we're still going to have the victory. And guess what? We don't. We lose. We get smote. Because that hidden accursed thing gives us a false sense of pride that we're okay. Nobody knows about this thing. And God says, oh, I know. I know. Joshua 7, verses 10 and 11. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou this upon thy thou thus upon thy face? Verse 11, Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing. And they have stolen and also dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. As a man who has a family, if I have a hidden accursed thing in my life, that has an effect on my family. That's what he just said. That's going to cause his whole family. Do you know that at the end of this, that Achan's whole family gets stoned and burned? Because of what he done? Because they hid it among their stuff. They knew. They knew that stuff was wrong to have in their home. They knew that it wasn't right for them to have in their house. And they still went ahead and did it. They still went ahead with it. And they hid it all together as a family. And they got punished as a family. How about it? You want to bring that hidden accursed thing into your family? Yeah, I know none of you have a wife and kids yet. But what about the family you live with? What about your job? What about the people? You think you're ever going to have victory in any of that stuff there, Randy? With the stuff that me and you talk about that I'm not going to bring out personally, okay? That's privately me and you talk about. But you know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you now, with that hidden accursed thing in your heart, you'll never get it settled. It'll keep destroying you and your family. And that's going to go with the same with all you guys. You go ahead and get married and get yourself a nice little pretty Christian wife and start having kids, and that accursed thing's going to pop up in your life and it's going to destroy it. You know why? Because you won't deal with it now. Deal with it now. Because it will affect everything you do. I guarantee you that. It says, get thee up while thou liest on thy face, okay? This is where most sinners are today. They cannot see the hidden accursed thing in their life. and they're unaware of it. They want to be saved their way with the hidden accursed things in their lives, and God will not compromise his righteousness to do so. Do you understand me? You are not going to come to God without seeing what he wants you to see. He was not going to allow that. He's not asking. Let me just say this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you. He's not asking you to put everything out of your life and then get saved. Okay? That's a work salvation. You're working your own way to heaven. That's going to blind you so bad. It's going to destroy you. You'll never see salvation, man, by doing that stuff. Because what you're going to say is, well, I'm changing my life. What do I need Jesus for? God's not asking you to work your way to salvation. Yes, it's good to get stuff out of your life. I'm not saying go out there and be a rebel and all that stuff. But what I'm telling you is, this is going to be something beyond you. And the more that you remove out of your life and the more that you take on yourself, the less you'll see Jesus Christ. The less you'll see the need for it. You have to still be able to see your need for Jesus Christ, even though your life, you guys, listen, according to the world, the four of you guys are doing wonderful. You're workers. You're doing the right thing. At least that we know of you humanly, that we can see, okay? But in God's eyes, how do you see yourself in God's eyes, people? What is it? What is it? Do you know what that accursed thing is in your life? God's not going to, listen to me. God's not going to just hand salvation to somebody who can't see what that thing is in their heart. He's just not going to do it. He's not asking you to get rid of everything. Please don't confuse that with salvation, because it's not. Okay? Because there were many things that changed in my life before I got saved. Do you know what that did to me? It almost destroyed me. Because then I couldn't see my need for Jesus Christ the way I needed to. I couldn't see. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. And you know what it says? In 2 Corinthians 4, that the gospel, the light of the gospel shined on my mind. And I was able to say, oh, you're right. I got this right. You're right, Lord. I changed that. And you know, for everything that I changed for the good, I had a million other things wrong and I couldn't see it because of that. For every one thing that you have right in your life, how many do you have wrong? What are you not seeing? What are you missing? Hey, I changed the way I dress. Okay, you just defeated Jericho. But now what about that hidden thing in your heart? And you got to go take care of Ai. With that false sense of pride, because that hidden accursed thing has got you blinded. What about it? What about it, guys? Come on. They'll remain lost until God opens their eyes to what is taking place. Most of you grew up seeing the effects of salvation. You've heard the Bible. You've heard it preached a million ways to none. Then what is it? What is it? Why you can't get saved? I'm a firm believer that most of your problem is you don't believe like you think you will. That's the problem. If you believe that Bible exactly for what it says, the way it says it, why aren't you saved? There is unbelief in your life. There's no other answer. Number two is this. We become religious. In those 4 years of searching, I started becoming pretty religious as a lost person. As a lost person, I went up against Nation of Islam, 5%ers, God bodies, Muslims, and everything else. I did that. I went after them with the Bible. They would absolutely call me Peter, me and my friend Peter and Paul. Why? Because I became so religious. But I wasn't, you know what I didn't do, Tim? I didn't pay attention to that hidden accursed thing in my life. How about that? How about that? Still had that pent-up anger. Still had that depression and fornication and adultery in my life. I mean, all that stuff was still there. I just learned how to cover it up a little bit with that false sense of pride. That's what that hidden thing did to me. It gave me that false sense that I was okay and I was not. And you know what I tried to do, Eric? I tried to convince myself. I tried to convince God and others with my knowledge that I was saved. How about that? That's what I did. I'm just telling you today, guys, it's not going to work. It won't work for you. Let me ask, has it worked for you so far? All right. We need to trash that and move on to something different then, okay? We need to do something that's going to work for you. What is going to work for you? What's it going to take? One thing I know for sure, it's going to take the Spirit of God to cleanse them, get them eyes and focus so you can see what the problem is. Okay? You got to see, we're born again, not of incorruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God. It says that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But you must come to Him, what? Believing. Believing that He is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You go, well, I'm doing that stuff. Okay, so what's the hidden accursed thing in your life? What are you not seeing then? Let me ask you this. Is it God's fault you're not saved or yours? What's the problem lying with? Tim, is the problem lying with God or is it lying within you? How about it, Eric? Who is it? God's? Hey, listen, Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So we know that it can't be Him. So who's the problem lying within? Each and every one of us. That's where the problem is. You have a hidden accursed thing in your life and you just cannot see it. You can't believe it. You tend to ignore something. There is something going on that is keeping your eyes from getting focused. There's something going on where your heart cannot be circumcised, your ears can't be circumcised, and you cannot see it. You look at that and you know what you're seeing? A bunch of jumbled words because you have no clue what salvation means in that Bible until God brings it into focus. How about that? Man, I love you guys. You know I love you guys. I pray for you guys on a daily basis. And I've been trying to send texts out that the Lord gives me for you people. And I hope you at least reading them. Praying on it. Okay, letting God search your heart with it. It has nothing to do with me. But I'm your Sunday school teacher. Unfortunately, you guys have to leave in September. And I'm going to miss you. But, you know, it's all right. It'll be good. Not you. Thank God.
Well, it was a nice ride in doing so. And I say that meaningfully.
And I believe it. But listen to me. I take the time because I know what Jesus Christ can do for every one of you. And I know that one day He's going to open your eyes to it. And man, I'm just telling you now, it's going to be such a relief to you. It's going to be something second to none. And that's why I don't give up in my prayers for you guys. That's why I don't give up with the texting and all that. So let me tell you this. Do not let go. Let God's conviction continually run your life. Let it be there. Put it in the forefront. Don't be like the Romans 1:28 people where it says they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Retain God in your knowledge. Keep Him there, okay? Keep Him there. A saved person, we argue with God. God, I've been doing this my whole Christian life and you've been okay with it. So it must be still okay. And God has to open that Christian's life to see that He is no longer going to accept this thing in their life. There's things in my life just recently that the Lord has gotten out of my life. And for all almost 6 years of being saved, God was okay with me having that in my life. But then He says, no, Dale, this thing is no longer accepted. But God, I've been doing this my whole Christian life. Not anymore. I had a hidden accursed thing in my life and had no clue that I was even had it there. Randy, but somebody, you couldn't walk up and tell me that. Because you know what I'd say? Well, God must be okay with it. He didn't change it. And you know what? God wasn't happy with that. And He's had to remove that out of my life. But you know, I had to see it. God had to open my eyes to it. Many Christians are trying to take these things of the world. They're trying to take the accursed things and fit them into their Christian life. You guys have to see it. You grew up around it. You know enough to look around and you can see these so-called Christian people. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to take some Christian stuff and take some stuff from the world and call it Christianity. And God's not going to have that. Because if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Okay, plain and simple. Over and over again, it tells you that. We don't have to be stuck up snobs and have our nose turned. It's not what we're talking about. But the music, the way we dress, how we do things, how we present ourselves while we're at work, all that stuff is very important. How would you ever be a witness and a testimony? First and foremost, your actions should speak louder than your mouth. Okay? People ought to see that there's something different. And then when they ask you, you can witness. Okay? You can tell them why. But most people can't tell a Christian from a non-Christian. You can put them in the world. Then we got people in the church, you can put them all in one place and never be able to tell for one hot second by their lifestyle that they're a Christian. Tim, God didn't save me to leave me the same person I've always been.
ready? God didn't leave me just to keep the same old stuff in my life and just put a different name on it. Okay? That's not how Christianity works. Most people today see preaching as a decoration. Your dad told me this last night and it blew my mind because I finally got my eyes opened up. Yep, that's exactly what it is. Because they're so caught up in how a church runs and how perfect this has to be and perfect that's got to be. And you know what? Preaching should be the number one thing in a church. Preaching that holy Bible, getting people's lives changed by that preacher should be the number one thing. And it's not. It's just a decoration that goes along with this Christian life they have.
Shame.
That made so much sense to me last night. I said, Pastor, that you're exactly right. God said it's the Word of God. It's His Word that's going to do everything. It's going to change lives. It's going to run a church in decency and order. But they have it backwards. They want all these programs and everything else. And then preaching is just part of being in the Christian church.
Well, I don't want to be a friend of the world. I don't want to do what they do. I've had a taste of it. I've had enough of it. And I could care less about going back to it. Okay?
You youngins who have never been into the stuff that I've been into or even an inkling of it, it ain't worth it. Keep it in your pants. Don't drink it. Don't smoke it. Don't talk with it. Don't touch it. Don't play with it. Leave it alone. I promise you, it's all overrated. I mean, it's overrated. I promise you, with everything that I am, at being 46 years old, it's overrated. Everything that I just named. You know where you'll find yourself, Sam? More unhappy than you ever are today. And you'll just can't believe, my goodness. And I'm not talking about going out there being a criminal, because I don't think any of you guys would be a criminal. I hope not. I'm just talking about the things in life that's acceptable, that Christians are putting in their life today. Drinking, how about that? It's Christian social drinking. It's a thing that's going on in the churches today. How about that? Just, lives are being destroyed by this stuff, and it's okay for the people to do it as a Christian? Are you kidding me? How about Christian gambling, getting together and going out and having a meal and then going to a casino? It's out there. So I want you to know that. How about gay and lesbian Christian churches with the Queen James Bible and all that? It's out there, guys. God isn't happy with it. That, I can tell you. Joshua 7:13 says, Sanctify the people. Sanctify yourselves against for tomorrow. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies. You're not going to stand before. He says, sanctify yourself. Separate yourself. There's a hidden, accursed thing in you, and you need to sanctify yourself. You'll never stand up against your enemies. Well, who's my enemies, Dale? How about your flesh? How about your devil? How about the sin nature? How about the world? Those are your enemies. You'll never stand up against that with that in you. So he just told him, sanctify yourself. Why sanctify myself? So you can hear God. He's not going to yell like I yell. He's not going to yell like I... It's going to be a still, small voice. Remember the value you talked about?
He says, you can't stand. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies. Why? Or when can I? Until ye take away the accursed thing from among you.
Boop. Let me ask you, does it get any plainer than that? I went to the jail Thursday night. We had our first... Thursday night study. It was good. We had 12 ladies show up. But I had some oppression. I had some people who wanted to attack because of the King James Bible. And I'm okay. Okay? Caught me off guard a little bit. A little dark. Because they don't want to take the accursed thing out of their life. They want to try to bring God down to their level. They want to live a Christian life full of the world. And so therefore they turn to those other Bibles, that music in those churches, and don't realize that that is the devil trying to make himself be called Jesus. And they don't agree. They think, hey, it's okay, you can get saved out of NIV or any of those other ones, and then maybe later on in life you should move to a King James Bible so you can grow. We're in a day and age in 2017 where you can go on any computer, any phone. I mean, the smartness of people today, and they can't read a Bible that's on a, what, sixth grade level? Give them instructions on how to run a computer or how to run a phone or other things. You know why they'll do it? Because it's in their heart. You know why they don't want to learn a King James Bible? Because it's not in their heart. Is it really that hard to read? Is it? No, it's just not in your heart to do it. You don't need an easier Bible. You need to be dumbed down. Is that what it is? Because that's all them other ones are going to do is dumb you down. And they don't get it. They don't understand. But you know what? It was good. And I need to have challenges like that. I need to have thoughts in my head. For the rest of the night, that bothered me. They were laughing like they're devil-possessed, two of the ladies. And I had to face that. It was something that I needed. It bothered me. I'm not going to say anything like I'm a Superman. It bothered me, okay? It did. It bothered me. It sucked me a little bit. Because I've never had it. But again, if I don't have faced stuff like that, how would I ever learn how to handle it? Okay?
But the hidden, accursed thing in their life. Listen to me. God will not move anymore in your life until you're ready to see the accursed thing in your life that he's trying to show. Is God trying to reveal them? Listen, God is trying to reveal them here in Joshua 7. The things they already know, or the things that are, or is he trying to reveal the hidden, accursed things in their life? Is he trying to show them that they just won Jericho? Is he trying to show them that all that gold and all that stuff that's supposed to be dedicated unto God, is that what he's trying to show them? Or do you think he's trying to show them something that they don't know? Verse 7:1. Let's look at 7:1 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. God's trying to reveal them. Excuse me. God's trying to reveal to them something they don't know. So many people struggle with salvation and they keep repeating the same things over and over again. God knows you already know that. It's the thing you don't know that he's trying to show you. But we, you know what we do? We shut that off because we're so busy about working over this thing or that thing or this thing. And we're not hearing it. We're not getting it. Our eyes are not being brought into focus. We have to shut up and let God bring it into focus. Let me just say this. Salvation, the faith of Jesus Christ, it's a gift from God. Saving faith is a gift from God. You know what else is a gift from God? The ability to believe that. The ability. God will give you the ability to believe Jesus Christ for salvation. He will give that to you. That is not something that we can make up or drum up on our own. It's something that is given to us. Why? Because God had totally removed man out of salvation, out of getting saved. And those other Bibles and those other churches, they put man in the forefront of their salvation. This is why they're lost and dying and going to hell and can't understand why. Listen to me. You know what? There's many false religions out there who read a King James Bible who are lost and dying and going to hell. Why is that? They read the same Bible you do. Let that sink into your head for a minute. First of all, they have no clue about believing that Bible. I don't care how many verses you think you guys know, but if you don't believe every one of them, if there's a problem with any issue with that Bible, you're not going to get it. Number two, God is going to give you the miracle of believing this Bible. He's going to give you the miracle of believing that he can give you that saving faith. You know the saving faith comes from Jesus Christ. But do you believe he wants to give it to you? That's a big hang up for people.
Let's move on here. God tells them there's no more victories until you take away the accursed thing from you. A light is used to show us through darkness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians real quick. Oh, man. 2 Corinthians. I dropped it again. Ain't that something? We'll leave it there for a minute. 2 Corinthians 4. Now I got to get there myself. 2 Corinthians verse 4.
2 Corinthians 4, let's start in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, there it is. Who is it hid to? It is hid to them that are lost, those who are unsaved. Number 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not. Lest, that means, hey, there's hope. Why? Because it could happen. Something could happen. Well, what could happen? It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined on our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Who is that going to come from? Who is that light going to come from? Jesus Christ. It's going to come from Him, and He's going to shine it upon your hearts. That's where salvation is going to come in. But you know what's happening? It's hid to those who are not saved. Why? Jeremiah 17:9 tells you how wicked your heart is. Well, if your heart's that wicked, then what's the devil have to do to not make you believe this? 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of the world had blinded the minds. It didn't say He blinded the hearts. He already knows how wicked your heart is, but if He can get your thoughts. If He can blind your thoughts, Tim, Randy, Sam, Eric, if He can blind your thoughts on this thing, you're not going to see that light. That light is not going to be able to shine. But God wants that light to shine. Do you believe it? Do you really believe in your heart that God wants to shine that light on you that you can get what He's called salvation? There is a judgment for those who hold on to the hidden, accursed thing. For the unsaved person, it's eternity in hell. Joshua 7:15 says, and it shall be that he is taken with the accursed thing, shall be burnt with fire, and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought the folly in Israel. For the Christian, it's a spiritual and physical death. Romans 8:13 says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And people know of the judgment and continue to hold on to that accursed thing. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the judgment of God? Anybody here who doesn't know the judgment of God? You know it. It says, who knowing the judgment of God? That they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in doing them. What is that hidden accursed thing? You know what that hidden accursed thing was? It was a coat from the Babylons. It was some silver and so on. You know what that was? It was things of the world. There's something in your life that's a hidden accursed thing of this world. And it's in your life. And you're having pleasure in it. And it's stopping you. Your mind's being blinded. You don't believe. You don't have the saving faith. Mull over these things. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How about the fear and trembling? You have, you know what? What's the beginning of knowledge? The fear? How about the fear of God? You got the fear of God anymore? That's going to help you in your search for salvation, guys. You have to have a fear. A fear of, listen, not because God can just toss you in hell, but a fear of a holy and righteous God. Who can make your life a living hell on earth and then for eternity. Think about these things, guys. Pray. Don't give up. Hold on to this stuff. Get it into your life. Ask God. Pray Job 10, 1 and 2. What is it, Lord, that you contend? What is this thing that you contend with me about? What is it? Show me. He'll reveal it to you. Be